Beat of MKMKFM. We're gonna tickle on divorce. Apparently, she's here. Hello, Pauline.
Hello, Neil. How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, I love it when you come in. You say we're just gonna have a chat.
Well, we are, aren't we? Because we're chatting about real life.
Yeah.
About what happens in people's lives, the good and the bad. Unfortunately, our chats about. Often what happens when things go wrong.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things we're going to talk about today.
Oof. Talk about... I mean, we literally, just 2 weeks ago, we were all upbeat with the pomp and ceremony, watching those two young lovebirds getting together, joining hands in marriage.
We were.
All that bright future that they have in front of them. Yeah. I'm sure Harry sorted out his prenup, right?
Well, we talked about that last time, do you remember?
Yeah, we did. That's what reminded me of it. Yeah. I was watching it going... I wonder if he took Pauline's advice. Was he listening? And did he go, you know what, Dad? I need to have a meeting with Megan. I wonder if that happened.
As I said to you last time, I have no doubt they sorted that out months in advance. I hope so.
It'd be sad if not.
Otherwise, it's all a bit messy.
Yeah. And all that. Everybody around the world watching it just for it to blow up eventually. It's not going to be nice.
But that's what happens, isn't it? I mean, it's happened in the royal family quite a few times, unfortunately, over the years.
I know.
But it's... It's what happens to lots of people, I'm afraid to say.
That is the reality, isn't it?
It
Which is what we're going to get into today. Now, this is interesting, actually, because I think when you showed me straight away what the five marital facts that can lead to a divorce are, and I said to you, didn't I? I said, wow, they must have changed things, because I only remember two. So that's probably quite a key point here, that a lot of people probably aren't aware of the five facts. They're probably only aware of two. So let's go through those, shall we?
Okay. Well, I said to you earlier, we're talking about law that was put on the statute book in 1973. Mm. So 45 years ago. And we'll talk in a little bit about how a lot of people want things to change. But at the moment, this is the law that we're stuck with. So it's 1973 law when things were so different. You know, divorce was rare in those days. And so the law at that stage, and as it is now, it says you've got to show that the marriage is broken down irretrievably. And you do that by relying on one of five facts. So the two that you knew were adultery and unreasonable behaviour.
That's right.
Now, the problem, I think, with those is that you have to blame the other person virtually for the breakdown of the marriage. You've got to show that the marriage is broken down as a result of something that they've done. Otherwise, you have to rely on one of the other five facts, two of which require a period of separation. So either 2 years... being separate, but with both parties wanting the divorce, so you both consent, or if the other person won't give their consent, then it's 5 years. Quite a long time, actually, isn't it, to wait?
That is, yeah.
You know, so if you...
Your life's on hold.
Your life's on hold. You may not have sorted out your financial affairs, but the other person, for whatever reason, maybe perfectly good reasons, but they say, no, I'm not agreeing to a divorce. Mm. So what you're then doing is... having to almost go back to the first two that we talked about. Well, if you won't agree, then I'm going to have to blame you.
Right.
And that's not great, is it?
Not really, no. When you're trying to keep it amicable and work together maturely.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
The other fact, just to complete it, is desertion. It's really rare. I think I've only ever done one divorce on a desertion in 30 years. Because it's desertion after 2 years. So someone's got to have left you, deserted, walked out. But the key thing is you've still got to say you want them back.
Right.
It's only if you're saying, actually, I don't want the marriage to end. I've wanted them back for the 2 years. And the fact they won't come back then gives you grounds to say, I want to divorce you on the grounds of desertion. So it's all a bit... unnecessary to some degree. I mean, for some people, I suppose it will help them come to terms with a relationship ending, that they feel it's right and proper that they should be making allegations, but it's not for everyone.
Mm.
And I think that's the problem here, that if you don't agree how you're going to do it, then you have to make allegations against the other. And certainly my experience is that Some people exaggerate the allegations. I suppose some even make them up. You'd never know. But if you were relying on unreasonable behaviour, or I suppose adultery, you might agree between the two of you. You know, you might manipulate the situation so that you come up with grounds.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not the best way to end a marriage. You know, we're supposed to live in a civilized society that everyone's interests are looked after. And yet, at the end of a relationship, and it can be a very long marriage, you might be forced to blame the other person. Not great that you're forced into that situation.
But sometimes the spouse might be willing to take that blame if they know it's going to get more closure quicker.
Yeah.
But it's obviously that's about their character, isn't it? Whether they're willing to do that and take the bullet for both parties, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But can you imagine if you're in a long marriage, as far as you're concerned, you know, you're going along with your marriage, all of a sudden your spouse says to you it's over. Mm. And you then receive a divorce petition with all sorts of allegations that are made against you. Mm. And you're having to read that. It's a document that's gone to the court. Can be a bit distasteful and certainly quite a shock and upsetting. And certainly doesn't allow people to move on, because what can often happen is you can get really upset about someone making those allegations against you, and that diverts your attention to perhaps more important issues such as your children and sorting out your financial affairs. You know, if everything is starting by an allegation or allegations that are made against you that are quite shocking or you think are complete lies, it's not a great way to start. Because often, if you're starting acrimoniously like that, that's how you're going to carry on.
Yeah, of course. You got some stats on it. 60% are based on adultery or unreasonable behaviour. 60% of divorces. That's more than half. That's quite a number, isn't it?
It is. It quite shocked me, actually, when I looked at it recently. And if you think about it, over 100,000 people a year are getting divorced. And of that, 60% of them are blaming the other person, either on adultery or unreasonable behaviour. Now, some of that blame might be quite justifiable and quite natural, but as I said, it's not for everyone. And I think that's why, you know, it's certainly time for a change in the law, and that's what a lot of people are advocating at the moment.
Talking about that, I mean, we'll get into it in a moment. We'll take a quick break for a couple of songs, but I'd like to talk to you about the whole advocating a change in law and what you think the chances of that might be after these two songs. There we go. Wasn't that great, Pauline?
Amazing. I love that one.
Shaking those shapes. Yeah, there we go. Bit of MKFM. Good afternoon. We got Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors joining with us this afternoon to talk about divorce. We've basically broken down the five facts that can be basically used in a divorce case. Let's just recap them actually quickly. So you got adultery. Unreasonable behaviour, and as you mentioned, that's kind of like the slightly less amicable end of the wedge, isn't it? Really, with it's the blame game, essentially.
Yes, and they're the two facts that allow you to issue divorce proceedings without having a period of separation.
Right, which is key here, because then you've got the 2-year separation with consent. You've got desertion, which you've mentioned is rare. You've only had one case.
Rare.
Was it 30 years? You've only had one case like that?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's very rare. And then you've got the 5-year separation without consent as well. So we've broken that down. What we're going to do now is talk about how we can take things forward. Now, you mentioned, you sort of hinted that there is a sort of a movement towards trying to change these laws. So where are we with that at the moment?
So there's been a movement for many, many years. In fact, the law was going to change as long ago as 1996.
Right, okay.
So 22 years ago, when it was going to change, whereby the only ground for divorce was that parties had been separated for a year. So take away the blame, take away the adultery and unreasonable behaviour and the lengthy periods of separation, take away consent, because it's a fact or not that you're separated for a year. Mm. And that was going to be the new law. But it never got royal assent. It never got pushed through by the government at the time. So we're still today 22 years later, stuck with 1973 divorce law. So throughout that period in between, there's been a huge amount of momentum and pressure put on the government to try and change the law, because I think everyone thinks, or a lot of people think, it's no longer fit for purpose.
Right.
You know, it can be acrimonious, it's not for everyone, and there's certainly a mood for change at the moment. There's a case that's recently been before the Supreme Court. So our highest court in the land,
okay.
We're all waiting for the judgment at the moment. It's a Mr. and Mrs. Owens. She issued divorce proceedings against her husband on the basis that his behaviour had been unreasonable. So she said, our marriage is broken down irretrievably on the basis of my husband's unreasonable behaviour. He's behaved in such a way that it would be unreasonable to expect me to continue living with him. So that's the crux of what she's saying.
Mm.
And she would have set out the allegations that she made. Now, typically, up and down the land in the courts, those sorts of divorce petitions go through. Some allegations are on the milder side, and some allegations are more robust.
Mm.
The judge who dealt with her divorce refused it.
Okay.
He thought the grounds that she put in her petition, i.e. the unreasonable behaviour that she was alleging, wasn't sufficiently unreasonable.
Right, okay. Which is opinion. Yeah.
You know, it's the judge considering it. You know, it's the judge's decision. But it is quite rare for a judge to do this, to say, no, I don't think that the allegations are sufficient to grant you a divorce. So she then appealed his decision and lost, and then went to the Court of Appeal and lost. So she's taken it as far as the Supreme Court. So we're all awaiting the decision at the moment as to what guidelines are then going to be given to judges in future divorces on the grounds of unreasonable behaviour. But it doesn't change the law. It doesn't change the fact that to get a divorce at the moment, you've got to show the marriage is broken down irretrievably as a result of one of five facts that have happened. So that's something for Parliament to do. But certainly momentum is growing. We talked before about a group of family lawyers called Resolution. So I'm a member, many hundreds, probably thousands of divorce lawyers, family law solicitors up and down the country are members.
Yeah.
It's about trying to deal with matters by way of good practice, to help people reach amicable agreements and deal with matters in a civilised way, but if they need to go through the courts to deal with things fairly and properly, and not to light the touch paper and watch it all explode, if I can put it that way.
No, that is a good way of putting it. I like it. That is a good way. Yeah.
So they've been involved in trying to help get the law changed, and certainly the Justice Minister, David Gawke, has said he's going to review the whole divorce law at the moment. So I think change is around.
Yeah.
Certainly I think that society requires it. Certainly the clients I speak to, they're absolutely amazed that they have to make allegations.
Right.
Such as this. I don't think it sits well with lots of people.
Sure.
You know, with some people it does, with others it doesn't. And the proposals that Resolution have at the moment is that if you think your marriage is broken down irretrievably, you simply tell the other person. You'd have to serve some sort of formal notice on them. So you'd register it somewhere, presumably at the court, send them that notice, and then wait for 6 months. You'd be expected during that six-month period to sort out your children arrangements, try and sort out your financial arrangements. Some people can, some people can't. They might need the court to help them with that. And then the divorce could proceed after 6 months. So no adultery, no unreasonable behaviour, no making up allegations, or no having to dig up allegations that, you know, you don't want to.
Okay, Pauline, great. Well, we're going to just take a quick break for a couple of songs, and we're going to get back into the nitty-gritty of why things are the way they are. It's the beat of MKFM. We've been talking to Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors about the way divorces are handled at the moment and how they haven't really changed in the last 50 years. Why is that, Pauline? Why has it not changed?
There are traditionalists.
Right.
Lots of people think it shouldn't be made too easy to get divorced.
Right.
Unfortunately, the reality is it is quite easy. I don't mean to underestimate the emotional and financial impact of getting divorced.
But from a process,
it's relatively straightforward. Right. Unfortunately, Mrs. Owens didn't, the lady who went to the Supreme Court. But as I said, that is quite rare.
Yeah.
So in practice, the process is relatively straightforward. In fact, the government have recently announced that there's going to be an online gateway directly to the court itself so that people can do their divorce online.
That's the way it's going, absolutely.
It certainly is the way it's going, which I think is great. It's going to really help lots of people. But you're still stuck at the moment with showing the marriage is broken down irretrievably as a result of one of these five facts. And one of the other difficulties with that is it just deals with a divorce. Mm. So lots of people will think, oh, I'm getting my divorce online, but it won't deal with their financial affairs. It
right.
won't sort out that, you know, what's going to happen to the house or maintenance or school fees or their business or pensions.
Because there are different levels of complication within a marriage breakdown as
absolutely.
Well, aren't there? That's the thing, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So I think there are things being done to try and make the process easier, but at the moment we're stuck with 1973 divorce law that lots of people think is no longer fit for purpose. And causes acrimony and distress, particularly where there are children involved.
You sound hopeful, though, that things are going to change relatively soon. I mean, obviously, we're waiting for this case. As you mentioned, it's not necessarily going to change a massive amount, but at least it will give guidelines, won't it? So
the case will give guidelines as to how unreasonable behaviour is to be approached by the judges, but it's not going to change
the law.
Facts. It's not going to change the law.
Yeah.
It's going to make it clearer how the judges should deal when they're presented with an unreasonable behaviour petition. But it's not going to change the fact that you've got to rely on one of these five facts to get your divorce.
Which is, for you, a good thing, I suppose, if we can be, you know, that clinical about it, because obviously people like yourself, you're the people that can give the advice and you're the people that can sort of, you know, help that distress when people are going through this. I guess coming back to you is the way forward, isn't it? Regardless of cases going on and the way it is right now, 1973, that is the way it is. And we're not going to be able to change that overnight. So, you know, it's good that people like yourself are around, that you can advise people on how best to proceed.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like yourself, you thought you could get a divorce just on unreasonable behaviour or adultery. You know, there are other alternatives. You know, it's not necessary for you to blame the other person, or you may be able to agree the wording in the divorce petition. You might be happy to wait 2 years. The difficulty in waiting is, of course, as you said, it puts your life on hold. You're not divorced. You might not be able to sort out your financial affairs.
And it's 2018. People have got really low attention spans now and they want to get stuff done, don't they? That's the thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but importantly, it's the impact on children, I think, that, you know, they're stuck in the middle. They're here with parents in limbo land. Mm. And if the parents haven't been able to sort out their affairs, quite often, unfortunately, experiences children get caught up in that. So if parents can sort out their affairs amicably and swiftly, it is far better for the children.
That's the best way to go. If somebody wants to get hold of you, Pauline, and talk through maybe doing that and achieving that, what's the best way to get hold of you?
You can give me a ring on Milton Keynes 693000, and I'm happy to have a quick chat with you. Or email me, pauline@purcellsolicitors.co.uk.
And if you've enjoyed this, you can listen to any of the older episodes of the podcast online on the on-demand section on our website. Just go to mkfm.com. Pauline, great to see you again, and thanks for the little boogie earlier on.
Cheers. Always a pleasure.